Hello, and welcome to the Passion on Purpose Leaders on Center Stage podcast. I am Steph, and I'm the owner and creative director of VIM. VIM's mission is to showcase the enthusiasm and passion of business leaders nationwide. I cannot wait to have you listen to the show, and stick around. At the end, we talk a little bit about how you can be my next guest. All right, we are back with the Passion on Purpose Leaders on Center Stage podcast. I have a phenomenal leader with us today, and a leader not in the sense of leading today, but leading all his life as a father, as a husband, as a what I'm going to call a serial entrepreneur, and as someone who wants to also lead others. So I don't think there's any stronger lead in leadership as a leader such as yourself. So I'm super excited to dive in as we always do. I have Chaz Wolf, CEO and founder of Gather the Kings. And we're going to dive into what does Gather the Kings do here in a hot minute. But we're going to dive in with Chaz. Are you ready? This is my hard-hitting question.
I'm ready. I'm excited to be here.
Good. All right. What is your why?
You know, that is a hard-hitting question. And I have it dialed down. Yes. So I'm going to give it to you. It's two-pronged for me. I have a purpose to build a legacy, and I'll explain what that means here in a second. And I have a purpose to build business disciples, and I'll explain what that means. Legacy for me is everything to do with my family. I grew up single mom family. And so financially there wasn't a whole lot, but man, did she work hard, and she paved the way, and she got us so far, right? And so it is my duty to take what I've gotten from that and then all the skill sets that I've learned to pave the next portion of the path for my children, my grandchildren. And honestly, even at 35 years old, I do have four children, but they're young. I'm obsessing. I find myself day over day now more and more like configuring in my brain, how am I going to build my children? How am I going to provide legacy? And so I do that specifically through real estate financially, so that there is generational wealth. And then on the family side of legacy, I'm spending time with my children, teaching them about, you know, business and strategy and finance and doing deals, and their kids, so that the wealth perpetuates generation after generation. Technically speaking, they say the third generation of wealth loses it. So it'd be my grandchildren. And so I'm obsessed with this idea of teaching my children and then partnering with them, and then even partnering and doing business with my grandchildren to ensure the legacy, or the throne, if you will, if we're going to use king language.
Yes.
Now, on the business discipleship side, I have been called to pour into people. All of my life, I've felt that way. I've mentored people I can remember being 10 years old, mentoring somebody else in a third grade classroom. And so pouring into others has always been super important to me. That's obviously part of my faith as well, as just literally pouring out of myself. And I just get to do that in a business format. I've just happened to do some really cool things in business that can help other people. And so I've gathered the kings, as they say, so that we can strategize and lift each other up and really pour into each other in a way that's impactful and powerful, so that they too can live their why.
Yeah. I love that. And you segued beautifully into a standard next question, which is, You already kind of teased it a little. So in third grade, there was this moment that you can recall where this calling of yours came very innately. Tell us about that. What was that?
Yeah. Well, so the student specifically that I was referring to was handicapped, let's just say that. And there was just some extra attention that he required in order to get, you know, kind of to and from the classrooms and even in the class, working on some certain, you know, projects and such. And so I made sure that he got on and off the bus. I made sure he got to the classrooms and had all of his stuff with him and worked on some of his work with him sometimes. But it was just more of a, you know, like he was in my fold, like in my covering, you know?
Yeah.
And which is exactly what I do with, you know, my wife and my children. And it's exactly what I do with Gathering the Kings. It's like, okay, I've been through the fire, or I'm strong enough as an individual. I have a bandwidth, a God-given bandwidth. And so it's my duty actually to allow others to benefit from that.
Where did the innate call come from to work with this individual, this young, as a young child, to have that calling to say, I'm going to take him under my wing, you know, and not discrediting if it was this, but sometimes the schools are even very proactive and have programs where they're like working with the kids that, and I say this still has so much credit because the programs will identify a person for the calling, which is still valid in their own right. But what was that journey like for you? Is it just, I felt like I had to do it. I felt called to, or was there more?
Yeah. I don't know if there was like this, you know, this voice from heaven that said, Chaz, you know, work with Patrick. But it was this feeling inside of me. And maybe actually where it came from was being part of a single mom family, right? So being the son specifically of a single mom, I've been way more of a partner than a son. And so the idea of what sonship looks like, I didn't really have that understanding. I understood what it meant to, you know, be a man or a leader much earlier on. And so this moment that we're talking about was probably earlier than I had to, quote unquote, be the man of the house, but it was the same call, if you will, that I've answered multiple times, even in that scenario of being a young man still inside of my mom's house, but being much more of a leader or partner. And I got married young, like we got married at 21 and 20. I'm 35. I have four kids. At one point I had 65 employees in my 20s. Like for me to be able to have people around me, not so much necessarily that I've, you know, gathered together for my benefit, but who are just around me because I'm going places. Yeah. And it's like, okay, there's this natural force that brings people around, movers and shakers, plenty of the people you've had on the show, I'm sure. But the difference really is that's not leadership. That's just the force. And then the person can choose to lead those that are naturally being forced around them, or not forced, but drawn in, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Wait, I want you to expand a little bit more because I love the idea of recognizing that there is a force in leadership versus what would be the opposite then, right? So if the force is simply the gathering, what is the next stage?
Well, I think maybe the question underneath your question is the motivation of the individual. And so if you have a person who's driving for something that's bigger than themselves, they have a bigger sight. And so inside of Gathering the Kings, we use this language of warrior or king. And in the warrior stage, specifically in your business, or even in a man's life or in a leader's life, however you want to dissect it, you have the warrior stage, which is this very survival, selfish, and you have to, okay. It's just the stage that you're in. I can only look out to the left and to the right. So maybe one or two people besides myself, but really the reality is I'm trying to survive. I'm literally in the battle trying to make sure that my life is preserved. That mindset, that singular, I'm out for me, if it continues, the people around that person fall away, right? And so that you'll see in organizations, leaders, whether they're the business owner or not, they run through people. And that's that individual. They're stuck in the warrior stage, right? They don't have the perspective of the people or the things or the community or the whatever behind them or around them. The king mindset is, okay, so it's not just about me. It's about not even just this one battle, not even just this one part of the army. Like the king is thinking, I got the army. I got that guy over there I'm fighting. I got that guy over there. I got the farmers. I got the ladies. Yes. I got the, like all this stuff. I got the economy.
Full kingdom. The whole kingdom's on your shoulders.
100%. And so you have to make the transition as a leader, even if we're not even talking business, from warrior to king, because the mindset is your family, your team, your community, your church, like the people that are around you. And people get stuck there because it's hard. And that's why I say, going back to the choice, it's the force of, okay, so I'm a warrior. That means I'm a natural force. Okay. So you're creating energy, let's say, and people are drawn to that. But if you never move it to the king stage, then that's where people drop off. So if you make a choice to move you as a leader to the next stage, then you start outwardly seeing other people as the reason or the purpose or the, like, why I'm in it now. It's not just me.
Yeah.
It's the whole picture. Does that make sense?
Yes, 1,000%. And I'm like totally geeking out because what an easy like recognizable thing we can think of as a warrior and a king. And the warrior's job is not valid, not important. It's incredibly important. And so I love that these stages we can all recognize, listeners can all place themselves where they are.
Yeah.
And I also love because businesses, I think, not just individual humans, but I think businesses sit in either a warrior stage or a king stage.
100%.
And the ones who sit in this warrior stage, because they haven't identified their purpose, they haven't, and even if they have it, maybe they kept it here. They didn't bleed it through their brand, their internal team, how their consumers and external prospects feel. They've just stuck in warrior mode. And so, like you said, loyalty starts to fall away. Retention issues become a problem. Yep. Referrals dwindle. But if you can shift your business into this king mindset, then you have this protection, this bigger together community.
Right.
I love that. It's just so, I love that a lot.
Yeah. Well, it ties in, obviously you're in marketing, right? So from a perspective of reaching even the end user, right? So we're talking about the internal, the leader, you know, the team, those people inside of the business. It's not just them even, it's their families. Like when I think of my team, yes, that's my work family, but they have families.
Yeah.
Right. And like that, there's a lot of weight to that, or the weight of the crown, if you will. But the end user, this is we're all working together to serve the end user. But how does the end user feel? Do they feel like it's a one-way street? Or is it like, wow, I've never experienced this before. This is incredible. I want to be here. I want to create loyalty. I want to all these things that you just mentioned from a marketing perspective. You can't do that without the king mindset, for sure.
Yeah. Well, because like you said, in your exact analogy, literally a warrior can only look right or left, might have one or two people with them. But when you think about a king mindset, you've got this entire network of community rally crowds. So somebody who's in a warrior state of their business is going to struggle to have all the loyalty and the referrals. And the user, as you mentioned, is going to feel more disconnected to that experience. Because of the simple, like I said, warrior with maybe one or two people to them. I just think that's such a great analogy and visual aid to help people kind of place themselves in these places.
I couldn't agree more. You almost said brilliant there. And I want, I saw the formation of your lips and I'm like, oh yeah, that's
brilliant. Awesome. That is exactly, it was on the tongue, right on the tip of my tongue, Chaz.
It's okay. I don't need any ego boost. It's actually good that we don't. Okay.
No, but I do. I truly mean that is a very, so I have a very visual brand, right? What I do with the clients I work for is very visual. And so I'm very complimentary and I mean it, that visual aid is stunning. It really is just a great one. So how did that come to play for you, right? We talked about very early on, you kind of alluded to a little bit of your childhood. Where does gathering the king specifically come for you?
Yeah. So, I was stuck in the warrior stage. Mm. And this is typically what happens, right? Like whether we've individually chosen to create a program out of our issue or not, we still go through whatever we go through so that we can help others, even if it's just the one or two in our community. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis of it. So I was in the warrior stage and maybe even warrior king stage for a really long time. And I was doing millions of dollars in sales, leading lots of teams, different states, multiple businesses, franchising, real estate, multiple companies inside of those industries and successful. And from all intents and purposes, doing just fine, but I was doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And doing is part of the, you know, that's one of the bullet points under warrior.
Ah,
think about a king. King doesn't do a whole lot. And that doesn't mean that he's lazy. He's making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He's making moves, right? So we, you know, the hashtag king move, as opposed to, you know, warrior move. What's that? No. The warrior's just busy. He's busy. Right. So I was busy building businesses. I was busy, you know, opening up different franchise locations. I was busy, you know, all this stuff. And so the semantics of it all is I poured myself into work. I love working 15, 18 hours a day. I will go and go and go, and I love it. And it actually fills me.
Yeah.
But what that takes away from is my family. What right. that takes away from is my church. What that takes away from is the actual people inside of my organization, like pouring into them as a leader, because I can't pour into them if I'm busy. Again, going back to what we said earlier that you acknowledged as well, in the warrior stage, it's not like, oh my gosh, this is crappy, I got to get out of this. No, no, no. There's a point in time for this.
Yeah,
I have to go through this. I have to learn the lessons inside the warrior stage of doing and being busy. For me, what that looked like is I've cleaned every single toilet in every single one of my stores. I've cut fruit. I've dipped it in chocolate. I've been on, you know, I've stayed up for 3 days in a row on a Valentine's Day. I've been to a real estate piece of property. I've walked it. I've done the negotiations. I've, you know, we've looked at the plans. Like I've done all of it. I would never ask anyone on my team to do something I haven't already done or being willing to do myself. But at some stage, it's now mindset. It's now decisions. It's now connections. It's now leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I can do physically with my sword in this one battle. It's leverage. And you, that is a whole different mindset. So as I walked through that, it was like, there starts, you know, be some major changes in my life. I'm like, wow. And I started having this language come to me through a couple books and some friends that were around me. I'm putting all this together going, this is literally what I've just been walking through the last like 6 years. Holy moly. So hopefully that answers the question, but it's a little bit of a journey, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you've bled it so much through your brand with Gathering the Kings. So tell me more specifically about Gathering the Kings and what that looks like for people.
Yeah. Gathering the Kings is a mastermind group for entrepreneurs that have at least a 7-figure business. So the reality is that less than 10% of all businesses do $1 million or more in revenue.
Right.
But you talk to a guy that's done $1 million, he knows how to do $1 million and another million and another million and a 10 million and 100 million. It's not all the exact same, but in order to get there, you've gotten this certain set of skills and you've likely been through the warrior stage, or you're maybe still in it transitioning okay. out.
Gotcha.
It's not like a clean break of like, oh, I crossed the $1 million mark and now I'm a king. That's not how it works. But
right.
generally speaking, you've got a big enough business where you're putting together a team. All these things outside of just yourself are like hitting you in the face. And you're like met with reality of I'm either going to become a king or I'm not.
Yeah.
And so guys that join our group are, you know, in the king stage, or they're trying to get there.
Yeah.
And there's a facilitation for both, but really the reality is that it's a community. It's a place where an entrepreneur can come and they've got struggles, questions, wins, losses. And we facilitate a pretty structured membership throughout a year where it's like, okay, there's going to be wins, losses, ups, downs, struggles, questions. You're going to need encouragement. You're going to need tough love. You're going to need a place to, you know, escape twice a year to, you know, and take a break. So we try to facilitate all those, you know, things that strengthen what we think a king needs.
And with like-minded, because did I hear you right? You said that the majority of people who come to the Gathering the Kings masterminds are already in the king's phase, or?
Yeah, like, no, I would say it's a good mix.
What if they are a warrior phase?
Yeah, it's a good mix. I think that there's guys doing $5 million in revenue and they're in the warrior stage.
Okay, yeah.
And there's guys doing, you know, say it again.
Probably drowning.
Yeah, 100% they are. Yeah. And so when I say things like, you know, you haven't seen your family in a while and, you know, you're working 15 hours a day and you feel caught and your calendar's, you know, nowhere in sight and really you're drowning. Right. And they're like, you're talking my language. Right. But the other guys are a little bit more mature, a little bit more poised. But that person even realizes that they need the other guys to keep them at that level or keep them moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
And also the king, again, it's mindset, realizes that if I can get around a guy who maybe is in the warrior stage and help him through it, that's part of being a king,
yeah.
is the give back. And it also strengthens us when we do that. We know that as good leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just in business. When you pour out to someone else, you walk away from that interaction going, well, I better be doing the things that I'm helping that guy with.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're strengthening your kingdom.
100%.
And as the king, as the top of that kingdom, everything below that, and I don't mean in hierarchy or importance, but everything that trickles down from that king role is truly your kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And just on that little note of hierarchy, and we got to be careful because we're in 2022 and people, you know, get sensitive. Right. But it's like, look, what I have found is that if the king fully knows his role, if we're using this language still, if the leader, we'll use your language, if the leader fully knows their role, then what that actually means is that the team is empowered to do their role.
Yes.
And it really has actually nothing to do with the leader at this point. It has everything to do with the leader serving the roles of the team and in the capacity, whatever that looks like. And maybe that's mindset and decisions and pressing in and mentorship or whatever, but it's not even, it's no longer the it's no longer even about the king, the crown, all of it. It's just like everybody knows that it's the collective.
Yeah.
If the leader in that moment is in the right mindset, for sure.
Well, I think it's challenging for a lot of people. I know it was for me and it still is for me to recognize that there can be talents and skills and individuals who like to, let's say, be a warrior even. Let's use that language.
Yeah.
And part of your job as king or leader is to bleed into that, rise them up, continue to coach them and keep them and make them happy if that's where they like to be. If someone on your team isn't a strategic thinker, they're an executioner and they love to execute. You ask them to dream up a new campaign or something, they're going to freak out. Because so as a king, it's to also recognize those innate skills, those desires within your kingdom, within your team, 100%. And drill into them and honor that. And I think I've seen that happen, and I've read great, phenomenal books around the concept of individuals being promoted and getting this new role of like, hey, you're a warrior. I'm going to make you a king because you've been an awesome warrior.
Right.
Well, maybe I was an awesome executioner, and because that's what I love to, I'm good at it and I enjoy it. But now you're asking me to be in this other state. So my example of throwing all that out there is, do you have a tool or a tip that you can give listeners on how to recognize where you are at? And if you need, and like, would you recommend everyone's trying to get to the king state, or how can we self-reflect on this?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And so I'm going to give you a really tactical answer, business form, and then I'm going to give you an answer for just everybody who's listening personally, because I think the answer is actually both. And so to lean into what you were saying, as far as everybody is designed in a specific way, and can everybody be a king? Well, no, then we'd all be kings and there'd be no kingdom. Got it. So, okay, what does that mean? That means that there are certain skill sets, characteristic traits, personalities, things that naturally you do that make you better at certain things than me. And there are certain things that I have that make me better at certain things than maybe you. And so the leader, the king, identifies each of those weaknesses, strengths, back and forth characteristics in each of their people so that they can have them in the right seat, on the right bus, or off the bus, you know, to use good to great language. And so the tool that I use for that specifically is Culture Index. We do this for all of our members. We'll do it not only for the owner, but we do it for their entire team. And we do an explanation of not just like, hey, here's their personality, but here's how this person's designed. Here's what they're going to naturally lean towards. This is probably the seat that they would function best in. And it doesn't mean that that person can't modify and grow. Like, I don't have a personality, quote unquote, that would be great in sales. Although when I was in sales, I was the top person out of thousands of salespeople. Mm. Why is that? It was because I knew what about me was going to hold me back in sales, and I modified it. I changed it. I grew. I overcame that. Does that mean that I want to be in a sales role forever and ever and ever? No, because it would eventually just not work to my skill set. Same thing with marketing and design and all of the things that go into creating a brand and loyalty and awareness, all the stuff that you're talking about. Like, I can get in there for a few minutes and I love it. I love the storytelling, but there's going to be some things that just naturally you're going to be more gifted at because you're probably more of a patient individual than I am. And let's just be honest. In order to have good branding, you have to have patience.
Yeah.
And I don't have any. Like zero.
I doubt that with four kids.
Well, I'm still learning, I guess. But yeah.
They'll teach you real quick.
Yeah. So I guess to circle all this back, yes, we use that tool to not only lead people in my organization, but also to help the other members lead their organizations well. And then to flip it on a personal level, do I think that we should rest on how my cake is baked? No, I don't. Do I think my cake is baked in a certain way? I do. Yeah. It's going to take a lot to change who I am at 35 years old. And I think that based on our environment, based on our DNA, based on our experiences, based on all these things that we've had to go through, it's made me who I am. The fact that I grew up a single mom family, the fact that I was put in situations as a 12, 13, 15 year old boy that my best friend never even had to think about because he had two parents and they were both well off financially. So it's like, I had to experience things that he hasn't. And yeah. So that's given me certain characteristics today that he doesn't have or that I don't have that he has. Right. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that I can't do things that he can or vice versa? No, 100%. I can be cognitively aware. I can have some EQ and I can press into the areas that I need to modify, but it's just going to take a lot of effort, a lot of desire, greater, lesser desire. And so if we realize that, if we know that, okay, I'm pretty much like this. If we know that pretty much our people are like this, let's get them in the right seat to where they love what they do. And if they want to grow and change beyond that, which I think we should, it's up to you then at that point, though. Like, yeah. It's going to take some massive effort and desire for you to overcome probably who you are because it's taken this long to make who you are. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's the concept of evolution. Like Your kingdom is constantly evolving, whether you are managing it or not. Your business is constantly evolving, whether you're managing or not, because just new clients, new people, what have you, unless you stop leading, right? Or you don't recognize what the evolution is and you don't lean into it.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And recognize it and bring it to the forefront of who we are and what we stand for. Yeah. I see that happening a lot in corporate and business and personal brands where they don't recognize their own evolution and praise that and sing it loudly. They just know it's happening and they're happy internally, but that really needs to be felt everywhere.
Yeah,
I feel like I could talk to you forever. I have one more question and then I want to wrap us. But when individuals are experiencing Gather the Kings or experiencing Chaz Wolf, what do you hope they feel from your brand?
Yeah. I'm going to use two words. I'm going to use premium and inspired. And premium for me means that I value everything off excellence. Like if my name is going to be on it, it is going to be done and it is going to be well done. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. And that doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes, because we do 100% almost every single day. But I'll tell you what, we will press to the nth degree to make it excellent. And then we're going to review it. And then we're going to make it better next time and better next time and better next time. And that just equates to value. I want, and my members know this, like I want there to be so much value where it's just not even a note, like it's a no brainer of, well, this is just how I do business. Oh yeah. I'm just part of Gathering the Kings. 100%. Would never think about not being part of Gathering the Kings, because there's just so much excellence and value. The second thing is inspiring, is that we are called. You mentioned it. We all have a calling. And for me to reach for my potential, I already told you, part of that is facilitating, growing Gathering the Kings. And so part of me reaching for my potential is getting you to reach for yours. And so I can't do that unless you're inspired, whether that be by me or other people in the group. There's belief and desire that you need in order to actually reach for who you're meant to be and then become that person. And so it's my job to give you the belief and the desire, which comes through inspiration.
Premium and inspire. I love that. Those are fantastic values. So in a nutshell, listeners are loving everything you're saying. I'm loving everything you're saying. And I want to know if I'm a good fit for Gather the Kings. So tell me in a nutshell, what is Gather the Kings? Who is it for? And then what would be a good way to dive into the Gather the Kings world or working with you?
Yeah, 100%. Gathering the Kings is for business owners across the country who have a business at least seven figures or more. So you're doing at least 1 million in revenue or more, and you have the desire to reach your potential. You know that it's more than what just got you here. It's the king mindset that drew you into this conversation that you're like, yes, I'm not sure if I'm fully there yet. Or even if you are, then what you heard was, this is an opportunity to get around other kings and then pour into other people becoming kings. Mm-hmm. And so if that didn't fire you up, then it's not for you. Plain and simple. And so how they can reach us, gatheringthekings.com or chazwolf.com. They can find both websites there and go through an application process. But really, it's like-mindedness, it's relationship, it's leverage. Like if you're looking to leverage, level up, get to the next place, and you probably already know that being around other high performers, like mm-hmm. me even, is 100% the ticket. And if that's you, we look forward to speaking to you.
Fantastic. And now, we obviously in the show notes, I'll make sure we have those links. You also are a podcast host. That's another great way for individuals to maybe just 100%. What do we say? Tiptoe into your world.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I forgot to mention that, but yes, Gathering the Kings is on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, but we also have Gathering the Kings Real Estate and Gathering the Kings Construction. So we've got three podcasts, and we're, like I said, it's not just a specific industry. There's a lot of mastermind groups for plumbers and real estate and whatever. Our niche is business, leadership, mindset. It's not a specific tactic. What I have found, when you remove the X's and the O's, the only thing that's left to talk about are the things that actually matter. So for us, it's all industry. So that's what I mean by the three podcasts. We have people from all different industries, and you can find them within those three shows, Gathering the Kings.
Fantastic. Well, you've left me with some incredible visuals. Like if nothing else, I hope listeners don't ever think when they're doing whether you're in a job, whether it's your career, whether you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, think, ask yourself in the middle of your day, am I being a warrior right now? Or am I being a king right now? And I think you imparting that on listeners, and especially myself, is going to absolutely, in just that thinking, change our opportunity for growth. So thank you for that. That's huge.
100%. You're more than welcome. It literally is, it fills my cup to know that maybe possibly you and or some of the listeners were inspired today. It's what I'm here for. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like I said, thank you again. Really appreciate it. And until next time, guys. Steph here. Thank you so much for listening to the Passion on Purpose Leaders on Center Stage podcast. If you are a successful business owner and you lead your business with passion, we'd love to feature you on our show. We'd love to share with the world what makes your business great and how you have intentionally led passion throughout your business. Also, if you got any value or little tidbits from this episode, please take a minute to screenshot the episode and share it on your favorite social media platform. Be sure to tag us so we can properly thank you, and we love deepening our connection with our listeners. We are regularly putting out new episodes to feature leaders such as yourself who lead with passion on purpose. So be sure to subscribe to our show so you don't miss any future episodes. For more episodes, guest information, or details on the show, please visit getvim.com/passion-on-purpose. That's getvim.com/passion-on-purpose. Once again, I'm Steph. I am the owner and creative director at Vim, and thank you for listening to the show.